This is the Icon Podcast, a community of trained readers reflecting Jesus with Michael Burns and Jason Alexander. I'm your host, Gianna Hearn, and we're rounding out the year. I can't believe it. 2023 is somewhat almost over, but it will be over for us as a podcast. This is our last episode. And in this episode, Michael and Jason and I will be sharing some of our favorite things. And when I say things, I mean books. We're bringing that back around, our book list. For me, I'll be sharing some podcasts. And so it's going to be interesting. Michael, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, when you said favorite things, it made me think of, what's her name? Oprah, that used to do that episode. Yeah. And they gave stuff away to the audience. There will be no giveaways.
Darn.
Here. I know we should
do that sometime.
We should, but... we're all poor, so.
I mean, if we're being honest, yeah.
by relative American standards, not.
I also think that means we're blessed. Then, you know, blessed is the poor in fill in the blank.
Oh yeah, good.
Just saying.
Yeah, good call. I like that.
Michael, your books. What type of list are you giving us?
So. You know, I get asked all the time as, you know, from people who want to go deeper, want to be a teacher or whatever, like, what are like the foundational books I need to read? So I picked a list of like, here's my list to kind of start you out, round you out with being a student of scripture sort of deal.
So I need to get my notebook out. This would be a good list for me to pay attention to.
Yes. So. Would you read all of them? Do you think?
Probably not. Let me be honest. No. not with my child and not with my job, but I'll make it, let's say, like maybe two books. Should I, like, we'll see.
You are on planes a lot. So, you know, you could read on a plane.
Yeah. But lately I've been holding Zariah the entire plane flight. So now we're going to try to switch her into a car seat on the plane. So hopefully my hands will be free and I can do that. But maybe an audiobook form, I could do it. So,
yeah. Did they have like child safe, like sleeping pills for planes? Like you can just knock them out. Does that exist? Yeah. Is that a
thing? One lady on one of my recent flights said she came in, she was like behind me. Mind you, I had already sat and she went behind us and she looked over and saw Z and she said, ugh, how does she do on flights? And I said, she does well. She's been on many. And then she said, okay, well, you know, you could just give her a shot of Tylenol and Benadryl and that'll knock her out. And that's what maybe what you should do. And so I'm bringing that up because no safe sleeping pills that I've heard of. But I have been told by passengers I should just give my child some Tylenol and Benadryl mix. So
that doesn't sound like a healthy long-term option.
Right?
But that's funny because, you know, I fly a fair amount. And when I wind up sitting next to somebody with a baby or a small child, I actually go the other direction. Like I try to relax the parent, you know, and be like, hey, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. We all have headphones, like, you know, because I don't want to feel all stressed and uptight. If the baby starts crying a little, it's like, just calm down. It's okay. You're doing a great job.
Yeah. Luckily, Z is a really good flyer, so we have been super lucky. But to answer your question, I don't have a lot of time to read on flights, but you and Jason read too much. Let me put that out there. You guys read
too much,
or should we say just enough? I don't know, but for me, it's too much.
I don't know that reading too much is an option.
My husband would agree with you. But
yeah, no, I mean.
Look, I think I may have something. I don't know if it's ADHD because I don't know enough about it, but I have a really hard time focusing while reading. The Bible is the only thing that I've really has kept my engagement. So audiobooks work better for me. So I think I need to try that more.
Yeah. I was going to ask about audiobooks. They're
audiobooks
good for you?
Are good for me. Yeah. But like physically reading, I get very tired. My eyes can't focus. I don't know what it is. So unless I'm getting prepared for my job, reading's like work for me.
I get it because I'm honestly that way with like TV and movies, though. It's really hard for me to lock in to something for more than like 10 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I pick up a book and I'll be watching a movie with people here and they get upset with me because we're supposed to be watching a movie together. But then I get kind of bored or I drift off and I grab a book and they're like, we're watching this movie. I'm like, well, I'm listening to it, but I'm also reading, you know? So I can't lock into
things
like
that. Oh, wow, you're one of those. All right. So, you know, you and I are very different. That's what we established. Michael.
But kind of the same.
Yes.
Just in different ways.
What are those type of twins that are like not identical?
Fraternal?
Maybe we're like fraternal.
Yeah. Or is there like, is there a term, am I making this up? Isn't there a term like mirror twins or something where they're like the opposite? Maybe. I might be inventing that whole
idea. Sounds like a creepy movie.
The mirror twins, it does.
So, Michael, you want to kick us off?
I would love to.
All right.
Here is my list.
How many books do we have?
Well, okay. So, I picked 100. No, I didn't. I don't know. It's not 100.
Oh, my mouth was open.
I know. I said that completely to see the look on your face. No, I picked 12. And
okay, one for every month of the year.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. There you go. That's what I was thinking. Okay. It wasn't at all that I was going to do a list of 10 and I couldn't narrow it down. And so yeah, I stayed with 12. It wasn't that. And these are in no particular order. And let me preface this by saying, this is my list. This is, you know, like, here are the books I would recommend to kind of be well-rounded in topics that I think are important. Certainly, someone else would come up with other books. Maybe some of them would be the same. I know if Jason did this same list, it would be different. Probably my own list will be different next year. But this is, you know, get kind of a good start. And I did not pick these books by ease of readability necessarily or anything. Yeah, that was not one of my criteria. Okay.
Know that going in is what you're saying.
Know that going in that the main criteria I used was I really like this book and think it's important and helpful. And, you know, sometimes you read a book and you're like, oh, my goodness, if I could require everyone that's a Christian or in ministry to read this book, then that book is definitely kind of on the list. So the first one is Why We Need the Church to Be Like Jesus by Joseph Hellerman. Why We Need the Church to Be Like Jesus. Now, Joseph Hellerman is one of my favorite authors, particularly on New Testament culture, and even more specifically, he writes a lot on the church and its structure, the early church and its structure as a family. And in this book, he takes an approach to spiritual formation and says this is, you know, a lot of spiritual formation things. In fact, most of them direct us towards an individuality, like the spiritual disciplines, the way they're presented, and spiritual growth, spiritual formation, spirituality becomes just another part of our hyper individual culture. But then it gets masked over because when you ask somebody about spiritual formation like that, sounds really individualistic. Oh, no, because loving others is the main purpose. And it's like, well, then you've completely missed the point. Like, and so Hellerman, and I love this, he says, actually, our primary field, the context of spiritual growth and spiritual formation is in community, as a community. And here's what it looks like. Here's how the early church approached it, and here's what it looks like for us. So
that'll be a good one. That'll be a good one. I struggle sometimes with that, especially just my on-the-go lifestyle. So,
well, and that can be a challenge, no doubt. All right. The second one we actually talked about on our Revelation series, and we did recently a couple of episodes on this topic, so I won't say a lot about it, but it's The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism. And the author is Hummel. on that one. I think dispensationalism has had, I'll just say this, has had such a profound effect, some positive, I think mostly negative, on American Christianity, that it's really important to understand that effect. And so I think that's an important book. Number three on my list, and this is kind of a compilation book. This author, I could have put all of his books on this list, but this one I think is a combination of many of his important writings, and it is The New Testament and Its World by N.T. Wright.
That's got to be a favorite author, I feel like, of a lot of people, at least from Reggie.
Yes. And the reason I chose this book is because I wanted to do his whole the New Testament, the People of God series, which includes, that's not the name of the series, New Testament and the Origins of God, whatever the name of the series is. But the books are the New Testament, the People of God, Jesus and the Victory of God, the Resurrection of the Son of God, Paul and the Victory of God. But that was four books, and I didn't want to take up four books. So The New Testament and Its World is kind of an introduction to New Testament, but it includes the material from all of those books and all of N.T. Wright's readings. And okay, it actually has a co-author, Michael Bird, who kind of coalesces that all together.
I like it. I want to check this out. And if you think you're muted, you're not. So
I forget to mute. You know what? So, okay. So what I did,
muted, guys.
No, what I did is I thought I muted it and I coughed. And then when I went to unmute it, I actually muted it.
Okay. I didn't know if you were trying to, or you were like, everyone just listen to my cough.
Yes. Well, this is the real deal.
All right.
December, and in December, people have a cough.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to add, N.T. Wright seems really interesting to me. That is something I want to try. But Reggie has a five-volume thing pack from him, and that seemed overwhelming. So I was like, I'm never starting. I can't start anywhere.
I would recommend Surprised by Hope. And that's written at a popular level. It's an easier read book.
A popular level. I like that.
Yes. Because he writes at popular and academic. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Book number four on your list.
Number four was actually on my list last year, I believe, for my favorite books. Strength and Weakness by Timothy Gombas. It is a wonderful look at humility and leadership and how the resurrection impacts that and directs us. And I think it's a must read for anybody at any level of Christian leadership. Number five. I really debated on which book by this author to include. And I almost feel like any of the books this author has written is important to understand a healthy way to approach the Old Testament. And the author is John Walton, but I finally settled on The Lost World of Genesis. But that's actually the first in a series of like six books of the Lost World series, but very readable, but really helps us understand how to read the Bible in it, or the Old Testament, particularly in its ancient Near East context. So very important. Number six, this is a classic. It's by Richard Hughes, to me, Myths America Lives By. And I think in order for us to contextualize scripture properly and understand how we tend to approach the Bible and read it through our own American lens, this book is vital. So he kind of gets at the cultural myths that we tend to believe as Americans and how that impacts our reading of the Bible. So that seems like a heavy hitter,
Michael. I like it.
Yeah, it's an easy read too. It's not hard. Now the next one is maybe the easiest read on my list, and it's intended to be that way. but yet it's very deep. So I could give deeper books on this topic, but I think this is the most readable and yet really well done. And it's by Sky Gittani. And it is, What If Jesus Was Serious About Heaven? And he kind of goes after, again, a lot of the books on this list are debunking myths that we tend to have when we approach scripture. But this goes at the sort of cultural mythos that is developed around our view of heaven and the afterlife and resurrection and all of those sorts of things. And I think he handles that in a really wonderful way.
Let's just have a book club podcast. You know, you give us a book and we go through the book. Just throwing that out there.
We could do that. There are podcasts that do that and they have little groups and all that. And I love that idea. What I don't love is the amount of work it takes to pull that off. And I don't think any of us have the time to do that. So, no. Number eight is Centered Set Church by Mark Baker. We've talked about that a number of times on the podcast. I just think it's so important to understand, contextualize as we read scripture, like what kind of people we want to be, what kind of church we want to form, and how easy it is to become a bounded set church. And I think that book really helps reframe who we are becoming. Number nine, again, no particular order. This book it might be the oldest book on my list, actually. And it's not that old. It was written around 2001, but it's Divided by Faith by Emerson and Smith. And it's in many ways a foundational book for understanding the racial divides in American Christianity and the challenges of it. And so there's been a lot of books written since then that have built on that book and added to it and that are very important. But I think, again, if we're building a foundation here, that's a great place to start. Number 10, it's not just because his book is on Revelation. I think Revelation is such an important book, although I think that's all true. I think reading this book also helps us understand all of Scripture better and read it more responsibly. And so, again, we've talked about this book on the podcast. It's Reading Revelation Responsibly by Gorman. I think that's a super helpful book. Number 11, and this was the most controversial book, I think. It's not the most controversial book, but its inclusion in the list was the most unsure. The committee that helped me put this list together, it was a prestigious committee.
Who was that committee?
You know, I can't reveal that. I can't reveal it, but you know. Well, you know, we're not going to get into the details of it, but.
Okay, book 11.
But it is a good book. And the reason I say it's a little controversial is because I actually don't like everything in the book. And I don't agree with all the conclusions, but what is in there I think is so important and helpful to understand certain aspects. And so it's called The Rise of Christianity by Stark. I just think that's an important book that a lot of these are, again, foundational books that help us understand a lot of other topics and books that have been, you know, these are very influential books, a lot of them, or authors. And so it's a good place to start. And then finally, and I just adore this book. I really do. It's called Missional Economics, Biblical Justice and Christian Formation. And it is a deep dive into scripture and how God wants to shape his people, not just as spiritual beings that is separate from the real world, but as a force for economic justice and as part of the mission.
Can you tell us the name again one more time?
Yes. So I give you the full title of this book, Missional Economics, Biblical Justice, and Christian Formation by Michael Barham. And yes, in fact, I have it sitting on my desk right here. Here it is. Missional Economics. It is it's a thorough examination of scripture. It's deeply and fundamentally scriptural, which I think is really helpful. And he basically takes on and says that because we have been formed so much by things like the American dream, and that has shaped us, that we can't even take in scripture the way it's supposed to be and then imagine the world that God's trying to create, because we're just blinded by our cultural presuppositions. And he goes back and shows how that was in many respects the same challenge that Israel had. And he shows how actually we're not all that different from ancient Israel's challenge to embrace this sort of different world of economics and relationship and all of that God wants for his people, regardless of covenant, old and new covenant. And so I think, gosh, that would be a great book for a church to read together, or a church leadership group to read together. Maybe not always the easiest read, but it's really important. So that's my list of 12.
List of 12, 12 months of the year. You gave us a lot of good stuff. Do we have Jason on the line with us still? Or is he back? Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show. Jason, how's your list coming along?
Good to see you.
Do you have your list ready?
Oh, yes. Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. If you're ready, you know, did you hear Michael's 12 books? I mean, he gave us some good stuff.
It's 12?
No, what I did. You can pick whatever number you want. Jason's okay. Had a panic attack.
I just quick chose 5. I'll do mine fast. Mine will be way faster. Let's see. Books. Compass of Affection, in no particular order. Scott Carnes. It's a book of poems.
Okay. What was the name of it? The Compass of Affection?
The Compass of Affection by Scott Carnes.
You're really into poetry.
I've jumped the boundary or whatever, into that world.
And your camera's off, Jason.
I'm sorry. I'll be right back by my computer in a second.
Oh, you're still milling around your office?
Yeah, my computer's in the other room here.
It's like the time Jason went for a walk on the podcast. Remember that episode?
He's in his like back room where he has 1,000 more books. So he's deep diving through all of his library.
No.
I thought about doing that, by the way. I have my office with all my bookshelves, but then I was like, man, I want to have like turn one of our guest rooms into like the sub library.
Wow.
That would be nice. I would love to have just a bare room.
Yes.
You know, I feel like it's in Beauty and the Beast when the Beast shows Belle the library and I'm like, who reads these books? Have you read all these books in here? That's how I feel about you too.
I have read almost all my books. Yeah, pretty much all of them.
I wish, you know, like you guys are who I look up to in life. I feel like you guys are my role models. There we go. Jason, what's your next book? Book two.
I'm going to put Lit by Mary Carr. That is it's like a memoir or a memoir, as they say.
And that was Split, S-P?
Lit. Or lit? L-I-T.
Okay, thank
you. And this list, Jason, is your books of your favorite books of this year, right?
I think so. I think that would be, I mean, yeah, this year was productive, but I think these would be the ones, you know, at this point, I think if it makes me make a sound out loud, like cry or laugh or say, wow, that book gets on my favorite list. And these did that.
I have never cried while reading a book. I don't.
Oh, read Lit then. You will cry.
Ooh, okay, so I'll stay away from that.
Wait, it's by the author of The Liars Club and Cherry. No.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like I would like that book.
Yeah, it's a heartstrings.
But the description from the New York Times says searing, lassos you, hog ties your emotions, and won't let you go.
Oh, dude, that is exactly right. Yes.
That sounds terrible. I don't want any of that.
Yeah, I guess it does sound a little brutal.
Maybe if you're like, I want to feel again. Make me feel.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what it is for me. Well, yeah,
I want to feel getting again. Drunk and getting sober, becoming a mother by letting go of a mother. No, that's
is this
okay.
A spiritually based book or just a good read?
It is. Yeah, it's about her conversion to Catholicism. She is like a poet's poet, but she writes these amazing memoirs, especially this one, going through addiction and divorce and finding God in some really just dark, heavy experiences. I'm into that kind of thing. Okay, let's see. I'll move on so you're not stuck on all of these, because guaranteed these are probably, well, let's see. Okay, here's another one you're going to love. I can already tell based on so far. Okay, Thomas Howard, Dove Descending, and this is effectively a commentary on T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets. This is another one that made me like gasp out loud, like, wow, that's amazing. Like most of it's underlined. This one was big for me this year. In fact, that might be my favorite book this year.
That's the best when Reggie comes and sees what I've read. And he's like, the entire thing is underlined, Gianna. So
yeah, exactly.
Out. And I'm right. Like, but it was all good. This was just read the whole thing.
Okay. I feel like I should know who T.S. Eliot is. Like, I know that name and know he's a poet, but yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, he'd be a good one. All right, let me give one that's probably, okay, let's see. Okay, this one, you probably read this one. This is Resurrection, Interpreting the Easter Gospel by Rowan Williams. And I think I like that one a lot because of what he does with John chapter 21, you know, like the Peter being restored at the lake, at the end of the gospel, mm-hmm. According to John. It's probably really basic, but it blew my mind.
I actually have not read that book.
You'd like that one. I think it's older. Let me see the year on that. I want to say this is the 80s.
It is. Well, no, that's New Edition 24.
And this is a. Yeah, this is like a. I think this publisher must be United Kingdom or whatever. Britain. Okay, 1982. Yeah, it's older.
Okay.
What number was that? Three? Four?
Four. But okay. You can have six if you want.
All right. Last one I'll say for this last year. The Kingdom of Man, The Genesis and Failure of the Modern Project by Remy Braug. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Braug. Remy Braug.
The Kingdom of Man.
What's that?
You said the Kingdom of Man?
The Kingdom of Man. Yes.
What's that about? What's the premise?
It's
why should we read?
Well, I picked it up because he talks a lot about the movement in our language, like the difference between the universe and the cosmos or the creation language, like the difference between creation and nature. But it's mostly looking at how the modernism was a failed project. Like he said, it's collapsed in on itself in many ways.
Sounds interesting. Sounds interesting. Jason.
That one was tough. That's a tough one. That one is you need your dictionary next to you.
Ooh, okay. That's a Reggie book.
That's Gianna's favorite kind of books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't love that? I think
maybe when Z is out of the house in 18, that might become my type of book. But yeah. But I like that, you know, I was going to say we are all giving different levels of reading, and but I haven't given anything yet. So Jason, thank you for your list. Thank you for wrangling all the books in your room. Yeah. You know, I wait for this episode so that I can get some ideas and direction. I don't really have any. The only book that's been circling around my house this year, because it has been crazy, and this is nothing spiritual, but if you check this book out, it's called Life in the G, and that's pretty much my life in the G League. But this is written by Alex Squadron. It's the first ever book that's written about the G League. Minor League Basketball and the Relentless Pursuit of the NBA. And if anyone wants to actually understand what the G League is like, what Reggie's life was like for almost 10 years, that's a really good book. Really good stories in there. So that's kind of what Reggie and I have been trying to read and focus on. I think Reggie finished it. But I, like we mentioned earlier, am better when it comes to audio books or things like that. So I've really been into podcasts. And there might be a controversial one. Not everyone likes this, especially within the Christian community. A lot of people have a lot of things to say. But one that I have really liked is called The Basement with Tim Ross. He's become a very popularized Christian influencer, we'll say. And he was a leader and pastor for, I think, like 30 years or something. And he is now done and doing a podcast. But I really like it, and so does Reggie, because he hits some very real topics and pretty unfiltered, and that's why it's called The Basement, where everyone's welcome. You can talk about any topic. So for me, it's pretty timely. and then there's another podcast that I've been listening to called Empowered Couples with the Freemans, and that's really for marriage advice, and they give perspectives from the male and female side, so that's really been helpful for me to see as Reggie and I are going into or wrapping up our fifth year of marriage. So that can be an encouraging one. I think, and then also there's one called Withholding Nothing, a podcast for the soul. That's by BJ Foster. She's actually the women's leader here in Reno. And it's somewhat of testimonials, but about people going through really challenging times and how they made it through. But stories from around the world. So if you're looking for some encouragement, it is, like its title says, a podcast for the soul. So those are three podcasts that are kind of circling for me in my library. That's all I got for you guys. Always, though, the Bible Project is always still one of my favorites. I don't know why, because I think it's simple, it's easy, straight to the point, and I think has some good stuff.
You know, I have a podcast app that I use. Mm-hmm. And I regularly move my podcasts around so that they're in a top 10 ranking.
Oh, wow.
So I like regularly rank my podcasts.
That's a good idea.
That should be a list too that we give to people, because I feel like, hello, we're a podcast and people love podcasts. So we should give a list of podcasts sometime that we're also listening to.
You know what? I'll give you my top 10 really quick with no explanation.
No explanation.
In order, number 10 is Mr. Ballin. It's a strange, dark, and mysterious podcast. Number nine is The Red Web. Kind of a conspiracy, strange, dark, and that kind of stuff. Number eight is Kingdom Roots with Scott McKnight. Number seven is The Bible Project. Number six is Our Fake History with Sebastian Major. Number five is Faith Improvised with Tim Gombas. Number four is a new one, Who Killed JFK? I'm enjoying that.
Sounds like one you'd listen to.
Yes. Number three, the Y Files podcast. That's a strong number three, though. Number two, Voxology. And number one, The Holy Post.
I knew The Holy Post was your number one. I've only given it one chance when I listened to it. Sorry.
But those top three could, I mean, they can move on any given week. It's kind of a three-way tie.
Jason, do you have a favorite podcast?
I need that app that you switch them around because they do change. But it's mostly podcasts about hip hop culture at this point. That's pretty much what fills I really love the Did I Ever Tell You the One About? They like each season is a different like MC or producer or, you know, former A&R or something like that in the 90s mostly. I think that would be at the top. I love Questlove's podcast. It's amazing. Super fun.
I love hearing all of our podcasts because it kind of tells us a little bit more about each other. Ones that aren't spiritual. Reggie is like super into this one on Spotify called The Rewatchables, and it goes over each episode is about a movie and they dissect and deep dive into the movie.
Oh,
and
that
so
sounds fun
Reggie
too.
Loves to do that. And so when he heard about this podcast, he, you know, he's like, oh, I'm watching one on Home Alone. I'm watching one on Inception and they were so right. So if you guys like movies, The Rewatchables,
nice.
That's a good one.
I do have a new one that I haven't listened to yet, but it's on my queue of starting to listen to that you guys may really be interested in. It's called The Sasquatch Chronicles.
I knew it.
Oh, wow. That's funny. I've seen some Sasquatch podcasts. I almost listened.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Sasquatch Chronicles. I've seen a few.
Well, I can't recommend it because I haven't listened to it yet, but there's 586 episodes, so you will not run out of material.
No, there's nothing good on any of that.
And each one is like an hour long. So if you're sitting there thinking, I need 586 hours.
Wow. That's a record. That's like more than like an NPR show. 580. It's like they download five episodes a day.
There's an episode called Who Would Be Dressed in a Gorilla Suit?
Yeah. And, you know, I just saw the length of time of those episodes. It says 54 minutes. So, like, people are really talking about this for an hour.
Yeah, they're all like about
almost
an hour. Yeah.
All right. Great list, guys. We talked about podcasts. We talked about books. We wrapped up our Revelation series. We did a lot this year. Next year, I don't know what we're doing. May look a little different, but we appreciate everyone sticking around with us. Michael, final words to wrap up this season.
I will give a hint for next year. And, you know, people wonder like, wait, how does Gianna not know? That's part of the beauty of this podcast is we don't let Gianna know what we're doing so that she's taking it all in fresh.
I'm like everyone else, guys.
Yeah, you're the canary in the mine. You're the audience. But no. No, we've talked about this. I'll give a two-word hint. I think we're going to move into the realm of new creation. And we're going to talk about that next season.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. And we have some cool new features and Patreon stuff, which I've already talked about, but that's coming up as well. We've been recording some of that already to have a little vault, you know, prepared so that we can drop those episodes quickly and consistently. So cool stuff coming up next year in 2024. 24, if you can believe it.
I don't know what happened to 23.
Right.
I don't know what happened to 19.
COVID happened.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, it seems like it was 2019, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. COVID was the longest and shortest time period. I don't know what happened.
It is. It's like two lost years.
A blur.
Yeah, they just sort of disappeared.
Well, we will have exciting stuff coming up, as Michael mentioned. So stick with us on our social media, especially Facebook. Reach out to us, talk with us until we come back for another episode. But thanks for sticking with us, guy, here on the Icon Podcast. We'll see you next time.